Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Miracle Distribution Center, and they can be found on the web at miracledistributioncenter.org. Our guest tonight is Teresa Chung. This show has been pre-recorded, so please accept our apologies as we are not able to take live calls tonight. And good evening to you, Bob.
And hello, and I think we get right into introducing our guest. There's a lot to talk about. Teresa Chung studied theology and English at King's College, Cambridge University, where she got her master's degree and later launched into a career in education and then journalism and, of course, writing. She's been writing books about the psychic world for over 25 years. Although her mother, grandmother, and great-aunt were all respected psychics, and it was somewhat commonplace for her to watch their spiritualist demonstrations. Teresa has some intuitive ability, but she doesn't consider herself to be a psychic or a medium. Some of Teresa's books have gone on to become Sunday Times bestsellers, top 10 bestsellers, I might add. Some have been translated into 25 languages. One of the books we'll be focusing on tonight is entitled The Afterlife is Real. And I would encourage you to go to Teresa's website, which is a wealth of information and a lot of detail about her work and her research and her other books, and there have been many of them. And the website is her name, teresachung.com. That's T-H-E-R-E-S-A and Chung, C-H-E-U-N-G.com. Welcome to the show, Teresa. Pleasure to have you.
Greetings. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor.
And I mentioned in the introduction that you came from a family that had psychic and mediumistic abilities. And I wonder, what did you think of this as a child? Did you consider this just simply a normal part of life?
Yes. And, of course, it was totally normal for this to be believing that we have there's an invisible realm that you can tap into, and that the dead can communicate with the living. That was completely normal for me. Of course, when I got to teenage and started to go out more in the world, because I was home educated, I began to realize that this was far from normal, and that a lot of people didn't regard it as normal. So, and then it began a period of soul searching for me and trying to find my own meaning, because, as I say, I didn't inherit the gift. And can you imagine being born into a family like that, but you don't feel that your gift is to be able to communicate, to be a medium? But I found my other gifts, and a passion for studying the afterlife, the paranormal, religion, psychology, spirituality, which I've poured into my books. And I actually come full circle now, because I often talk to my readers about my frustration. Why can't I hear dead people? But I've found ways that there are other ways. I've realized it's taken me a whole lifetime to realize that there are other ways that you can hear the other side. And in my next book coming up, published by Piatkus Hatchett, actually, I've decided to do something I've never done before. I'm actually collaborating with a medium who is quite astonishing to get her story, because I always feel I kind of shortchange my readers a bit, because I collate experiences and people have written to me in their thousands, because a lot of people kind of relate to me that they're fascinated by the paranormal, but they haven't had that experience. And I talk about that in my book. So a lot of people feel they can write to me. And I share those stories. But I often say in my books, yeah, I'm not somebody who can communicate with the other side. So I kind of went on a tour in the UK to try and find someone who I felt was the real deal and wasn't doing it for ego or money. And I think I found someone, and I'm really excited that my publisher agreed to allow me to tell her story in the next book. Sorry, I've jumped the gun there. I answered 100 questions, probably.
We look forward to the next book. But, you know, it was interesting listening to you. So, you know, here you had a family filled with these people that had abilities.
Yes.
And yet, you know, they were the so-called normal ones, and you weren't, because you didn't have
ability. But it happened for a reason, because I have become, it happened for a reason, because I think if I had been like them, I certainly wouldn't have had this huge drive. I mean, I've written close to 100 books now. I am a bit of a serial writer. And you know, my Facebook page, my author Facebook page is currently hugely popular. And it's actually given me the drive to go out there and to find out, to research mediums, psychics, spiritualists, intuitives, and to share that journey. So maybe in my way, I've been able to spread the word in a more powerful way. And I do believe things happen for a reason. And maybe that's why I wasn't, you know, able to do demonstrations like my family, you know, that I used to watch.
I have to admit, and in reading The Afterlife is Real, I got a nice little chuckle when you were talking about your family, and you related the time where your mother had a meeting with one of your school teachers and told him that his deceased mother knew that he was gay, and she was okay with that. I mean, sometimes that might be a little bit too much information for a young girl, right?
You get that with some psychics and mediums, that's the thing. And I often speak to them, because a lot of my work is actually interviewing and talking to these people to find out what it feels like. And to share that in my books and to encourage, you know, whatever. And they often say, I just don't know. It just comes through me. And it was the same with my mother. She just didn't know. She would actually say to me, I wish someone could actually prove that this was all nonsense. And that, I kind of wish I didn't have this gift, because life would be a lot easier. Yeah. She would often say that to me, that I don't know why it happens. I wish science would prove it to me. And then again, I've taken myself off on another journey. I've recently collaborated with the Institute of Noetic Sciences, invited them onto my page to talk about their research into the paranormal, to look at where science at in terms of investigating spirit and psychic ability and mediumship, and sharing that with I share it with my readers all the time. I think they enjoy the fact that I'm kind of like learning with them.
Right. Now, you had your own, for lack of a better term, we'll call it a non-physical experience that literally saved your life. But it's a compelling story. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, of course I can. I mean, it kind of was a turning point, a huge turning point. But again, at the time, I second-guessed myself, as we often do. When we have psychic breakthroughs or anything, you know, there's a voice in our heads which telling us we're imagining it can't be real. So, but now looking back, it was very, very powerful. I was living in America at the time, and I came to a junction, and I had I heard a voice, and it was my mother. She'd recently passed, and it was like the voice was outside of my head, and she was simply saying, Teresa, take the right path. Now, that is something that my mother would say to me many times, meaning do the right thing. But for some reason that day, I decided to turn right, and even though I was supposed to be going in the other direction, I don't know why, I just blindly followed it. I have no idea to this day why I did. And if I had turned left, I would almost certainly be seriously injured or perhaps died, because there was a massive pileup involving many, many cars and vehicles. And it still astonishes me that happened to me. But I kept doubting it. I wouldn't talk about it for many, many years after, because I kept doubting it, thinking it's my imagination, you know, whatever. But then other things began to happen, other signs, when I began to realize that, yes, I potentially did have a psychic breakthrough there, but my fear stopped it. And I think fear often stops us hearing the voice of heaven. And it's working to control that. My rational, logical mind would not allow it. And it's partly because I'm Cambridge, my degree is from Cambridge, I'm an academic. So that in a way makes it worse, because when I say something, I want to back it up with research. And look at it from both points of view. And that's why I'm so fascinated now by the science, the scientists studying the paranormal. And for my latest book, the one I taught where I collaborate with a medium, the foreword is by Dr. Julie Byshaw, from the Windbridge Institute, who's studying medium scientifically at the moment in America, producing amazing results. Again, she decided that she was going to test mediums because she used to work in the pharmaceutical industry testing drugs. And she decided, let's test mediums in the same scientific way. Mediums who don't earn a lot of money through what they do, who volunteer and who are done under controlled conditions. And I urge everybody to look at the research at the Windbridge Institute. It's windbridge.org. The New York Times picked up on it, and it was in various magazines, and fascinating research that is really pushing forward our understanding of mediumship. There is something there. Nobody quite knows what's going on, just as none of us know is that there is life after death. I'm open about in that, in my books. I don't know. I could be wrong. I always say that. However, there is enough research coming out now into near-death experiences, into mediumship, into psychic phenomena to suggest, and even scientists now are saying this, top scientists, that there is something there. We don't know what, but there is something certainly worth pursuing. And I find that, oh my goodness, that is so fascinating. You can probably hear my tone of my voice. It's the most exciting thing in the world, I think.
Absolutely. And I think that we're going to go to a break, but I think that you're right. And when our readers and our listeners, they hear us talk about all the various types of evidence, whether it be NDEs or deathbed visions or reincarnation and mediumship and so forth. And you know, it's somewhat easy to try to explain away one of these disciplines of research, but when you step back and you look at the composite of evidence, I mean, you know, that survival is the most logical explanation. So it certainly.
But it is anecdotal, and that's why last year I decided I was going to contact the Institute of Noetic Sciences, where they've got a team of seven leading scientists, neuroscientists, doctors, and ask them to talk to my readers on my Facebook page. It's led by Dr. Dean Radin and Dr. Julia Mossbridge, who recently had a book published by the American Psychological Association called Transcendent Mind, which was the first of its kind to sort of talk about psychic experiences as part of, you know, our psychological makeup, real breakthrough book. And I just invited them onto my author page on Facebook to say, could you talk for 2 minutes about your research and your findings? And the interest was phenomenal. I did present it in kind of the matrix, the blue pill, the red pill. I sort of said to my readers, do you want to take the red pill, find out the truth? It's not just anecdotal. There are scientists studying this now, and the gap between science and spirit is closing so fast, but we don't hear about it. No, we don't hear enough about this incredible science, and I'm making it my mission now to send out this message. There is science to it. And when the skeptics and the atheists come onto my page and attack, I have such an arsenal now too, because the Institute of Noetic Sciences gave me a landing page where my readers can go and get information and research and look into these scientifically controlled studies,
right,
where the results are just incredible.
Okay, we're going to go to a break.
You can't explain it rationally.
We have a lot more to talk about. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Teresa Chung. Our sponsor is Miracle Distribution Center, and they can be found on the web at miracledistributioncenter.org. Bob?
And we're back talking with Teresa Chung. One of her books is called The Afterlife is Real. You can find out more on her website, teresachung.com. I mean, Teresa, so now, I mean, obviously you've been learning and writing about life after death for quite a long period of time. Would you say that you've gotten to that knowing stage where you no longer doubt life after death, or are you not there yet?
My answer is going to surprise you. I don't want to get to that stage, because one thing I've learned from talking to people who've had near-death experiences is that when we say we know something, that is almost a kind of a death, because it's static. The whole purpose of our spiritual experience is to constantly learn and constantly be trying to find out more. So in some ways now I'm content with not knowing, if that makes sense, because I think that's the only thing we can be certain of in this life, that we're not going to ever fully know, and that's fine. But the people that I've spoken to who had near-death experience say that on the other side, we're still learning and growing. We still don't know when we pass over. There's still so much more to learn, and that is the wonder and beauty of our life as spiritual beings. It's constant growth. And when people say they know something for sure, so any religious belief or you say, I know for sure, in a way, what you're doing is you are stopping your progress and your spiritual evolution. When you say, I know everything, is the day you stop growing, and we're here to grow. I had a wonderful conversation with the lovely Anita Morjani, because I interview people for my blogs on my website. She famously had a near-death experience, and it was the same for her. We're here to constantly learn, constantly grow in love and compassion. We're endless potential for knowledge, and don't ever get to a point, she said to me, where you say, I know everything, or I know, because that means you'll stop searching and growing, if that makes sense. It's terribly esoteric, but...
No, it does make
sense.
So
basically what I'm saying, I do believe, but I don't want to ever say I know, because that's way too that would shut me down spiritually, I think, if I say I know. And that's why I always doubt very much people who stand up there and they're absolutely determined that they know the path to heaven, they know the route, because none of us know for sure. We all got to have humility that we are all here to learn and to grow, and through that growth is how we awaken spiritually.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think that it's, and we often, you know, counsel people the same way, in that it's important to be skeptical, you know, as long as you're an open-minded skeptic, you know.
You can be a believing skeptic. You
can be. Is where you get into.
And to see, I mean, I love it when atheists and skeptics talk to me because I want to understand where they're coming from. What I hate is when they tell me I'm wrong, that somehow they know that there is no life after death. And I'm going to say, well, how do you actually know that? You know, where's your proof? You know, we don't. None of us know for sure. We can just look at what's out there and have our beliefs and find our own personal meaning. That's all we can do. And it breaks my heart in a way when people are so convinced that they have the answers, because I think the person who says that is the one who knows the least. I think the person who knows the most is the person who admits they have more to learn.
True. Very true. Do you, I'm always curious, I mean, obviously your books have sold well in across the globe, but you have a strong base in the UK as well as in the United States. Do you notice differences in how people view the afterlife in the UK versus the United States, or is it?
Yes. In the UK, they're more looking for life guidance, I found. They love my books, The Personal Experiences, The Personal Journey, and ideas about how to live a more spiritual life on Earth. In America, it's more expansive. It's more about how can I connect with something higher than myself? How can I develop my full potential? How can I make everybody feel this spiritual? It's more expansive, I found, maybe because of geography, because you're such a bigger country. Whereas I think it's more individual in the UK. Whereas with America, it's more about interconnectivity. And how we are all one. And I love that. I love that. I mean, each country, I mean, I'm translated to so many different countries. I notice that there are different stances. Like, for example, in Croatia or Serbia, it's very much angels, you know. Whereas for me, when I talk about angels, I don't actually think of beings with wings anymore because I've written lots of angel books. I think an angel is anything spiritual, really, anything pure, anything beautiful, anything loving. But each country will approach it in a very different way. That's an interesting point you make. I do find the UK actually, although we have a strong spiritualist movement here, and that there are churches all around the country, spiritualist churches, that there tends to be much more cynicism here about belief in life after death, about mediumship, about psychic phenomena. I do think it's a little bit more open-minded over in the States.
Yeah, we did notice, especially on the subject of mediumship, that, you know, many of the English mediums that were trained in the spiritualist, you know, tradition, there's quite a difference between the mediumship that's practiced there and the mediumship that's practiced here in a lot of cases.
There is a lot. I mean, we have something wonderful here called the Arthur Findlay College, which does mediumship training, and then people will go and sit in developmental circles. I mean, the lady I co-authored my next book with, called Claire Broad, who has been doing mediumship for 20 years. I mean, she sat in a development circle for close to 15 years before they were even allowed out, you know, to go and do demonstrations. I mean, and you know, assigned a mentor who would help you develop if you have this gift. Most mediums will say to you, everybody has this gift. It's just that some people feel called to develop it. And the mediums I've spoken to who have touched me when I've seen their demonstrations, they all feel this calling that they can't. It's not about the money. It's just that they have to do it. A lot of them actually don't really want to spend their Sunday evenings doing this. They've got other things, but they feel called. It's a vocation, and those are the people that I'm interested in. I'm not interested in celebrity mediums as well, because I think celebrity mediums, I think a lot of them had the gift in the beginning, but when you're under pressure to do a world tour and people are paying all this money, you're going to compromise your gift, because a lot of mediums compare their mediumship to the internet. Sometimes you get a great connection to the other side, and other times there's blocks. And what happens when you're doing a big tour and it's blocked? You're going to have to just use cold reading techniques. simply because people have paid all this money to see you. And I think that happens to a lot of people who do choose the celebrity route with mediumship. That it's not. I do think that they all in the beginning were the real deal, but I think the pressures and the ego, basically ego takes over, I think. And and that's very sad, and I've seen that happen many times. It gives them a bad name. It gives psychics and mediums a bad name.
You couldn't be more right.
Sorry.
Subject, you know, it's exactly what we've found, you know, over the years. I mean, we've been also as a foundation, you know, been conducting a certification program, you know, for mediums since 2006.
I know the work you do is amazing. I've actually publicized you on my page a lot.
We appreciate that. But what you said rings true, because we've seen the progression. You know, some of the mediums have gone on to you know, careers and fame and so forth, and the pressure that we do put on mediums, we turn them into entertainers. They go from the realm of sitting with the
bereaved
becoming a star, and people go to see them for the reason of because they want to see them because they saw them on TV. And
a lot of them are very likable and charismatic, and then what are they? They're a rock star, or they, you know, and they kind of enjoy that, because who wouldn't enjoy it? I mean, a lot of people do enjoy that, and it is quite sad because they're compromising their original gifts. I don't think any of them are fake. I think they started off with the right intention.
Right, and then as you pointed out, I mean, when you have that pressure to perform, and we know that mediumship is not a direct telephone line, and when you have those little gaps, they don't like dead air, so excuse the pun, but, you know, so that they feel that they have to fill in those gaps with their conscious interpretation, and I've seen it even on the best mediums, you know, so...
See, the reason I asked this medium to co-author with me my next book was I felt that there was something missing in my story, that I was I talk a lot about direct experience without a medium, but I do get a lot of mail about mediums, and I thought it's time to share to explore a medium. The reason I did, because I went to one of her demonstrations and she stood up there were about 60 people in the audience, and she just said, look, I'm sorry, there's nothing coming through tonight, I'm really sorry, I'll refund you at the door. And I thought, wow, an honest medium. And I followed, and that was what I had never ever seen. That it was quite extraordinary. She just said, I'm really really sorry, but I hope this will prove to you that, you know, that it's sometimes there's no connection, I'm not making a connection, and we need more of that, because it's not, you know, it's not something, because people say, well, why can't you just turn it on like a tap? You can't. It's not like that. The conditions do need to be right, for a medium to flow properly. But of course, if you are a big star, you can't do that, can you?
No.
You're invited onto a TV show. You perform, and you get to know that there are certain things you can say. I know, because I've written books about psychic development. There are certain truths that apply to everyone, aren't there? That you can say as a psychic that everybody would identify with. Cold reading, isn't it, and conscious interpretation of what you see.
Right. I know when I sit with sitters as we're training them, you know, I give them a sample reading. Of course, I have no intuitive ability or very little, but I show them that I can be 100% accurate, because I'm using cold reading techniques, and I'm giving them all general. You know, stuff that would apply to anybody, you know, so it's true. I think the sad thing is that there's somewhat, the media has fueled somewhat of an explosion of people that are hanging up shingles, and there's really, in reality, only a small percentage of mediums that can actually do what they claim. So it's, there's no regulation, there's no, overseeing body, there's no licensing, and these people are, you know, sitting with the bereaved on in very fragile states, or sitting with them on a regular basis, and they're charging a lot of money. And
It gives it a bad name, isn't it? I mean, it's horrendous. I know, but what I have seen, that a genuine medium can offer comfort like no other.
Absolutely.
And I do pray one day that, you know, there will be not scientifically approved, but approved mediums working with counsellors and doctors. That would be wonderful if one day that, because to grieve with spirit, I think that we all need to know how to grieve with spirit, because a lot of people, when someone dies, they don't want to forget their loved one. They want to continue that relationship. And the trouble with the grieving model is you're told to move, let them go, move on, which I understand the point of, but a lot of people want to carry that spirit of their departed loved one with them. And that's why my books like Mindcell, when I talk about signs from heaven and powerful dreams and flashes of intuition that remind you of a departed loved one. Yeah. And that's why a brilliant medium can actually bring that person back and just give them a hint of comfort that perhaps, and it is a perhaps, one day, you know, they will be reunited in spirit. I think I'd far rather live with that belief than the belief that it's there's nothing there at the end.
Yeah.
And it is very, very possible. And for all those people who say there is no science, there is a world of science. Go onto the Noetic Institute website, go onto Windbridge Insight, look at the Forever Family Foundation, you know, but it's something science doesn't want us to know about, because it would throw out of the window all the things we've been taught to believe.
Right.
Because it's so explosive, isn't it, this idea that we don't die.
I see things changing. I mean, you know, just over the years, you know, we get contacted on a regular basis now by mental health professionals that are looking to...
Yes. I'm so... Bless you. That is just wonderful. That is wonderful.
Yeah. Mm. And as you pointed out, we've also seen people's lives literally change by having an extremely evidential, you know, medium reading. So...
Judy Brayshaw, who's now set up the Windbridge. I mean, her mother took her own life when Judy was in her 20s, and nothing, she went through all the grieving things, nothing gave her comfort. And then one day, just randomly, I don't know where she was, she just decided she was going to see a medium randomly, and she just dropped in, and this medium immediately picked up that her mother had taken her own life, and that gave such detailed personal information that she was blindsided, because she was a scientist. Had
right.
never believed in anything. And that sowed the seed 15 years later, when she had this very successful career in the pharmaceutical industry, to think, why don't I test science mediums the same way? And
right.
I asked her when I interviewed her, I said, do you actually believe in life after death? And she said, I'm not going to tell you, Teresa, because it doesn't matter. I'm a scientist. My role now is to try and look for proof. And basically, there's so many anecdotal stories about mediums, it's data. And in any other field of research, all this data would be studied scientifically. And that's my role. I'm a scientist. I'm going to study it. And it is data. There's thousands and thousands of anecdotal stories. And we cannot, you know, the overwhelming, we cannot keep ignoring that. People are having these experiences, and we need to study them scientifically, just as we study everything else.
You know, obviously, people, after writing you writing all these books, and people sending in you know their anecdotal stories and their experience, mm-hmm. I'm always wondering how many of them start off with, you know, Teresa, I want to share this with you, but I hope you don't think I'm crazy.
All of them, almost all of them, all of them, all of them. Oh, I can tell you that is so often. And of course I have had some, you know, you can't write about what I write about without some people contacting you who probably do need help. But 98% of the mail I get, these people are from all walks of life, completely normal, all age ranges as well. I've had from as young as the age of 7 or 8 up until the age of 101, people contacting me who have had amazing careers, done amazing things with their life, and yet say, I never believed until this happened. Can you explain it? Am mm-hmm. I going mad? All the time I get this. And I can relate to that so much, because it's happened to me when I've had things that are just been incredible, like that incident when I was in my car, when I definitely heard a voice telling me to do something, and that voice just came out of nowhere. And these experiences happen time and time again, and people want to talk about them, but they're embarrassed to it, especially if you come from a certain culture or religion, and you feel you can't share this because there will be disapproval. And I love the fact that people feel that they can write to me, and I treat everything in confidence, and I will enter into a dialogue, you know, and I try to answer as much as I can every single email. Of course, now because I've only been on Facebook a couple of years, that's the great way now for people to message me, and it's wonderful. I mean, my page is now 115,000 likes or something, which for someone who, you know, for a niche subject area, that's incredible, really, without publicity, because, again, publishing houses don't like publishing, you know, unless you're a big celebrity, you know, or have been on a big TV show or have a massive, you know, YouTube channel, whatever. You're not considered viable by publishers to invest time and money in. And what I love is that I write these books, there's no promotion, and they just sell. So that is why I have been in the, I have three books coming out this year, but they're not promoted. And it's lovely because that means that they're just people finding them and finding me online. And that's heaven sent. That shows that, you know, this is amazing. But within publishing houses, they're much more interested in true crime or cookbooks or, you know what I mean? That they consider mediumship or psychic stuff, you know, they don't fully understand it. And I sometimes want to shake them and I say, just try and understand it. Open your mind. And I'm getting there. I'm starting to make progress because, as I said, my collaboration with the Institute of Noetic Sciences has started to get people to notice it in publishing, and I'm loving that. Mm. So fingers crossed, you know, my dream is to try and open minds that we're not mad. And that's why I feel very blessed that I was given the opportunity to go to Cambridge, because usually when books about heaven or the afterlife are written, you know, they're kind of written off. And because I have these academic credentials, I can use them for people to say, well, wait a minute, you know, and I know it sounds, but it's been great having that, because they can't just say it's all nonsense. They will look at it then, think, well, an academic's been writing about this for years, you know, and I've done all these big encyclopedias with HarperCollins as well. And so I feel that's why I feel I probably wasn't gifted with mediumship, that I can be a voice to spread the word for people like me. I'm not making sense, but I think you know what I'm trying to say. I can give weight to the field. And I feel very blessed that, because I often wondered what on earth I was doing there at Cambridge. And now I can see it's fantastic because it enables me to get interviews like on this interview today. I'm very blessed, you know, to get book after book. It enables me to do that.
So when we're talking, obviously, about all these different disciplines of research that suggest survival from a scientific, evidential point of view, what do you think is more convincing, you know, learning about the established evidence or having a direct personal experience?
Both, but if I had to choose, direct personal experience, nothing beats it. The trouble with that, though, is lots of people have that, and then they try and convince others of it who haven't had it, and the other person just listens and thinks, well, you're balmy, or you're making it up. And therefore, giving them a body of evidence, which I try to do increasingly in my books now, of, look, this study showed, and this highly credible scientist or resuscitation expert, I mean, Dr. Sam Parnier, for example, with his research into near-death experiences, is a great person to refer to. What Dr. Julie Beischel is doing with Winbridge, that in some ways is almost more powerful for helping other people understand. Because I had this direct personal experience, and then I tell people about it, and they just think, "Oh, that's nice," but they don't understand it. You can't. It's like love or anything in life. Until you've gone through it yourself, it's just words when other people say it, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that I know even from my own case. I mean, if you've been a materialist or a left brain thinker for a good part of your life, learning about the scientific evidence, knowing that there are academics and scientists and medical doctors and researchers that believe in life after death, that can open the door to personal experience. You know, so you
can. Yes, it can. You're so right there. But there are huge numbers of not huge, but a lot of scientists, very credible ones. One of them is Dr. Arnold Delorme. He's at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, doing some amazing research. As I said, Dr. Dean Radin is still out there doing all this incredible stuff. And Dr. Sam Parnier, in his near, I mean, he doesn't actually yet believe in life after death, but he's proved that consciousness can survive physical death for at least 3 minutes. And, you know, there's going to be more studies and research because his study of near-death experience is so powerful that it's kind of made everybody think, well, we need to fund more research in this.
A lot of the researchers and the physicists and the medical doctors and so forth, for various reasons, publicly, because they rely on funding and grants, you know, won't express belief in survival. But when you talk to them over a drink or on a personal level, you get a little bit of a different story.
You do. And also the most wonderful people to speak to actually are hospice workers, nurses, who have so many wonderful stories to share. I could almost write a book from there, that, you know, people who spend their days with the dying, if you know what I mean, what they see and what they sense and what they experience. They are true earth angels, these people. Yeah. I did a talk actually a couple of days ago, and this woman came up to me. She'd been working 20 years, you know, nursing people who've got cancer. And she said, everything you say is true, and it's what I see at the end. And what they talk to me about, and what they can see, and what they can sense, they've given up trying to convince other people, but they know these wonderful people who work with the dying. They know
these are the people on the front lines. We're talking with Teresa Chung. One of the books that we're talking about is The Afterlife is Real, and we are going to go to our next break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. So stay with us.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, our guest tonight is Teresa Chung. Our sponsor is Miracle Distribution Center, and they can be found on the web at miracledistributioncenter.org. I just want to update our listeners on our current events and things and remind everybody that to check in on our events, please go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Everything is there, all of our new announcements and things that are happening. Our next webinar of the year is Surviving Death, A Journalist Investigates Evidence of an Afterlife, presented by Leslie Kane on June 14th at 9 p.m. Eastern, streaming live on your computer or device. Our annual grief retreat will continue with early bird rates until the end of this month, so make your reservations before May 31st. We do, however, recommend booking early, as last year the rooms at the retreat filled and some attendees had to stay off premises. If you're booking early, please keep in mind our no refund policy. This event only gets better each year, so plan to join us this July 14th through 16th. Be one of only 50 guests who come from across the globe to spend a weekend in a beautiful and peaceful setting with like-minded people, all learning that our loved ones are still with us. The weekend is all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Joe Peretta, and Gina Simone, working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. It also includes a variety of activities and small breakouts that are all designed to help heal. And please, please, please help keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donate button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, great nonprofits, and WellZoo. And lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back speaking with Teresa Chung. The book, The Afterlife is Real. Teresa, many of these accounts, and in The Afterlife is Real, I mean, you really did a great job in publishing some of the most compelling, you know, cases of stories that people wrote in. And a lot of them talk about, you know, visions or touches or smells or apparitions and so forth. But sometimes it's just a sense of, they just describe it as a sense of presence. I mean, how would you define a sense of presence?
It's all about, it's just knowing a love, overpowering love, just feeling that your loved one is with you. I mean, even now, as I'm on this radio interview and emails come in all the time, can I just read? I mean, it's incredible, this story that's just come in from someone.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, it's just only a couple of sentences. He talks, first of all, about his grief at the loss of his wife. This one dream I will relate was early on, a few months after her passing over. I was in the kitchen with her. I was crying and said how much I missed her. And then I just sensed her. I mean, can you believe this? This came in, literally, I'm not joking, when I was on it, and I just sensed her, and I heard her say in a non-emotional but very loving way, "I don't envy you." She had a way of saying things like that, Teresa, like nobody else would. It's what I needed to hear at the time. I was so grateful for having sensed that and realized that I was grateful I had not gone before her, for her to suffer such difficulty as I was currently going through. It gave me great peace and healing. I mean, that's the kind of things that come into me. So he was missing his wife so much, and he just heard her say something, "I don't envy you," which was, he says, his typical her, saying, you know, and he's glad that he is still alive and she's gone, because she would have felt more pain. He wouldn't have wanted her to feel this pain. Isn't that beautiful?
It is. You also notice that, you know, being able to talk about the experience is somewhat cathartic. You know, in you, they see somebody that's not going to judge them. So, you know, they may not be able to share it with their friends and their family or their colleagues.
No, no. And he says at the end, reading your book has rejoined me to something that has been missing.
Right.
So I want to say thank you. And that's what it is. I mean, that's when someone passes, you know, it is an opportunity for you to rediscover who you are and reclaim that love. But you also want to keep that person alive within you. And it's so distressing that there isn't anything in the grieving process to help people do that. But mediums and spirituality can do that. And I think we should all learn how to grieve with spirit. And that's what the Forever Family Foundation does, and it's an amazing organization. Because, you know, it's going to happen to all of us. You know, at some point in our life, we're all going to be hit by the greatest blow that life can give us, which is the loss of a loved one in whatever shape or form. And most of us are – I was woefully inequipped to deal with it, even though I was born in a family spiritualist, because I didn't understand. We need to learn that there are ways to ease that horrible, horrible trauma of grief through spirituality. And as I said, I hope one day everybody learns to grieve with spirit. You know, and a belief that that person is alive somewhere, even if it's in memory or in their heart, that person is alive still. And I compare it, you know, if you think back to when you were 10 years old and a child, that child is dead, but you still go on. And that's how I try to explain people who struggle with the concept of life after death. But, you know, we're constantly moving on to other phases in our life. And, you know, the 10-year-old child was very alive and real. That was you. But that child is dead now. But you've gone on. And physical death is exactly the same, that we just leave our physical bodies behind. But we go on just as we go on to adulthood and leave our childhood behind, if you see what I mean.
You know, I'm sure that you get this, asked this all the time, but by people that you know, write in, and I know we certainly hear it, and we keep talking about all of these wonderful experiences that people have, and then sometimes you'll get somebody saying, well, how come I haven't gotten one? You know, does my loved one not want to communicate with me?
Do you know what I always say to them? What I always say to them, have you had a dream about that loved one? And 9 times out of 10 they will say yes, and I say that's the beginning. That's the beginning, because I find that departed loved ones, that's often the most gentle and subtle way that they try and reestablish that connection is through dreams. And typically the dreams will be the loved one will be somewhere there in a realistic setting, being very much like them, and I bet you that they would have had a dream of some kind. But they just think, oh, it's just a dream. And what I say in my book, it is not just a dream. It is more than that. And, you know, you need to just think about it a bit more and focus in on it, because that's the beginning of reestablishing contact. And the more you, it's like in life, the more you think about something, the more you attract it to you. So focus on that dream and then ask heaven to have another dream at some point, and they will come. You know, have you heard a familiar song that, you know, that made you think of a loved one? All these things, these are gentle, because I think the departed, they're very subtle at first, because it's not, you know, they don't want to traumatize us, I think, because they want us to go on and leave a happy life. And if they keep coming through too strongly, that stops us, you know, healing properly, because we need to get used to the loss of their physical presence, don't we? But I always say that. I ask them, have you had a dream? And they almost always say yes. But they think, well, that wasn't. I said, that there you are. You're having afterlife contact. You just don't, you haven't realized what it is.
That's good advice. You touch on in the book about, of course, many things. One of them is deathbed visions, or you call them parting visions. And they're extremely suggestive that we have help when we cross. Do you think that we all have these glimpses of the other realm and are perhaps escorted to the next world?
I mean, I've had what I call sleepwalker dreams, and that some people have written to me with stories that they have found themselves at the deathbed of or scenes of accidents in their sleep, where they're tasked with holding someone's hand or helping someone transition. And then they come back, and then they find out on the news or whatever, they found out that that accident actually happened and that they were there. This is incredible thought that maybe even in our sleep, we're all busy doing spiritual psychic work and helping people transition. I don't know. But I do think, that there is some help, at the final moments. Because people, there's many stories of having that what they call lucidity before death, where someone is incredibly calm and lucid. I mean, dementia patients suddenly becoming very lucid before they die and talking and almost like they see a loved one at the end of the bed. This has been reported so many times, these swan song stories. Too many times they've been reported not to have some substance to them.
Yes, absolutely, and there's no medical explanation for somebody that's either mentally or physically incapacitated to have this period of clarity. You know, so there has to be a spiritual.
No, there isn't. It's a spiritual experience. It is, and it's been happening since the beginning of time. You can go right back to the time of Plato, and there were stories like that. It's something that is part of the human condition, and we've tried to deny it because we're scared of it. I don't know why, but I'm hoping that we will go into a new area where it is considered acceptable and normal to have these beliefs and ideas. And I think we're getting there slowly, that people are starting, but it was going to take a while. But fear has stopped us, and again, people saying, I know the answers. Again, that's always throughout history. Every time somebody says, my religion's right, I'm right. That's where all the trouble starts.
Yeah, aren't you right? We have been talking with Teresa Chung, and the website, we can't do justice to all of her books. Like she said, she's written 100 books approximately. Go to the website, teresachung.com. Again, Teresa is spelled with an H, Theresa, and Chung, Cheung.com. We've been talking a little bit about the afterlife is real. There are many others. I mean, what other of your books would you point people to?
I love my ten Secrets of Heaven, which is one of my most recent, where I find out what near-death experiences tell us about how to live a happier life on Earth and more spiritually fulfilled one. My upcoming book is the one I'm co-authoring with medium Claire Broad is called Answers from Heaven. That's going to be I hope that book's a real talking point, because I am a popular mind, body, spirit author, and I'm giving almost center stage to a medium, which hasn't been done for a while over here in the UK, certainly, and a medium that nobody knows about either. But I hope they will, take her very seriously when they read the book. It's a very profound book. So that one, I love all my books. They're all slightly different.
All right.
But I found that I was kind of reinventing the wheel with them, and that's why I wanted to evolve and take it one step further. I'm now bringing in the science. You see, I never used to bring in the science. It was all anecdotal. And the afterlife is real. I was still very much in the anecdotal stage. I've since moved on there now. And since I've reached out to scientists and resuscitation experts to add that in as well.
I have found that a lot
of people think it's just belief. That when it comes to science, they said, well, I believe that's enough for me, but I want to put the science out there. Sorry, I've got so much to say.
Thank you, Teresa. My pleasure. I hope to be able to talk to you again after the new book comes out. And thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Bob Stahl, Sandy Raybould, Eddie, Alex Hanna, Veronica James, Rich LeBly, Lauren Ramnath, Vince Mataya, Isabel Ginsburg, Diane Archangel, James Rafferty, Donna Mello, Stanley Mulam, Marianne Pierschka, Glenna Irwin, David Haith, Michael Tim, Helen Montalto, Cynthia Post, Evelyn Ingram, Linda Bonventry. And now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.